Well, we began last week looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and looking at the fact that God has given us different spiritual gifts. Last week, we looked at verses 1 through 3, and let's read that again. You know that there was a number of the women that were at the women's retreat, and I understand you guys had a blessed time. The text that we looked at last week was 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And we see there that with reference to spiritual gifts, Paul wants the church to understand the gifts of the Spirit. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant with reference to this. The Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to write these things because he doesn't want us to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And so in verse 4, we're going to look at verses 4 through 11. He begins to go into some detail as far as what the gifts are and how they are given and how they are to be used. This is a subject that as we get into this, you will see over the next couple of weeks that we will look at some particular aspects of the spiritual gifts that will make us maybe question some of the things that we've heard in the past or make things more concrete as far as things that we've looked at and seen and thought, I don't know that that is right. I think that I can say without any doubt that there are incredible abuses to this particular subject in the church today. I've been in places where I've watched it take place, where you know a child is sick in Vietnam and the parents have prayed that this particular child would be healed. I remember that it was a sickness that was leading to death. I think it was cancer or something along those lines. And they prayed and celebrated that the child was healed, and the child continued to be sick and continued to deteriorate over time. And they were so embarrassed because they thought that they didn't have enough faith to heal their child that they wouldn't allow the child to go out in public at all. And we were there, and they were just ashamed. Like, how do we deal with this? Our faith isn't enough. And a lot of what you see on television as far as going through and looking at some of the televangelists and faith healers and things like that, you might look at, as I do, which I try not to look at frequently, but sometimes just going through, I might stop for a second and you just think, where does that come from? It's not biblical. These things that are taking place are just so out of line with doctrine and what God tells us in His Word. I remember being at a particular chapel at a school I was attending. I was attending because I was playing soccer there, not because I thought it was the strongest school doctrinally. But being there and watching what was taking place, and there was a guy that came up and said, you know, well, I had a message that God had prepared, you know, for me to teach, and I prepared it for it and studied for a long time. But as I was walking up, God, the Holy Spirit moved me to do something totally different. And if you've been in Pentecostal circles, you'll know that that frequently happens. I think that it's usually that the person didn't study, but they would get up, and this particular guy got up, and he was decided to do a faith healing service. And so he would just go around the room and say, you know, does anybody have scoliosis? And so people would raise their hands, and he'd say, okay, everybody with scoliosis, come up onto the stage. And there must have been 30 people on the stage, and I watched this take place, and he was saying, you know, when someone has scoliosis, one arm is longer than the other, or one foot's longer than the other, and so he would go and take their hands and raise them up together and say, see, look, it's, you know, one hand short or one arm shorter than the other. And then listening to him pray for these people, and I remember the prayer went something like, come on, you know, God's trying to heal you. You need enough faith. We got a lot of people to be healed here today. We're praying, we're trying to help you, but you have to have enough faith, you know. And he would sit there and say, come on, work with me. We don't have all day. And it was this process, and then he would move the person's hands like this and say, they're healed. Let's go to the next person. And I was watching this thinking, this is a joke. Who talks to God like that, first of all? You know, who tells God to hurry up in a situation? And watching them, and he would take their legs and do the same thing. And I'm watching thinking, I could do the exact same thing. I can make your arms go together and not be even. And it was this process of watching it, and it was just this ridiculous dog and pony show that was taking place up there. I remember him saying to the goalkeeper on our soccer team, God's telling me that you have a bad back. Do you have a bad back? And he says, no. Does anybody have a bad back? And I was thinking, like, we should take you outside and stone you right now because you were a false prophet. And I was listening to it take place, and I just thought, this is ridiculous. What is occurring here is just absolutely against what God tells us in his word. And so you've maybe seen something like that. And I went to the school and complained and said, hey, how, you know, and the next chapel was talking about what that particular person did and why that happened and, you know, going through, because I went straight to the office. I'm like, am I going to have to participate in this on a regular basis? And yet you maybe have been in circles like that where you've seen the gifts being used in a way in which people have been blessed. And you may have been in situations where you thought, these people maybe have lost their minds. And the Bible talks about both. And so I think that as we look at this, we'll look at certain things and say, this is what God's word says on it. And I have no problem calling out some of the TV evangelists and saying what they're doing is unbiblical and it's wrong. And some people might not do that because it's, you know, how could you, you know, say that about a particular person who's in ministry or pastor? But when something's absolutely unbiblical and does damage to the people of God, I think that there is warrant to be able to say, this is what this particular person says, and this is what's wrong with it. And we'll look at those things over the next few weeks. But this morning, I want to look at the distribution of gifts and how this takes place. Everybody in our church has gifts that God has given them. Something where we'll see that this is, without a doubt, every Christian is gifted in some way, as the Holy Spirit has given you a gift. And these gifts are to be used for us together as a church. The gift that you have does not belong to you in the sense of it is for you to minister to yourself. It is a gift that has been given to you to minister to us, the body of Christ. And so we look and we see that for us to be a healthy church, which I want and I desire and you want and desire as well. We want to be a church that is a healthy church, that is ministering to one another, where we are being built up together, not where you are relying upon the pastor to do everything or you're relying on a few people to do everything, but where you look at it and see all of us are a body together and we're all critical to one another. And for us to be healthy and for you to look and say, here are the gifts that God's given me and I need to use these gifts for the body and for the kingdom. And I think that without a doubt, as the Holy Spirit has gifted each person here, if we are using the gifts that God's given us, Reverence Bible Church will be very healthy. People will be ministered to and God will be glorified here in this church. Let's look at our text. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now we look at this text, and it has a lot in it, and we are going to focus on certain aspects of it this morning, because for the sake of time, we're going to be looking at some of the gifts that are mentioned here. For example, the gift of tongues is brought up throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in great detail, and we'll look at that when it comes that time. But I want to look specifically this morning at the fact that there are diversities of gifts, and they are given by God to us for the profit of all. If you look at the last verse there, verse 11, it says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." A sovereign God has distributed certain gifts to certain people. Everybody here has a particular gift, and it is perfectly in accordance with how God willed for you to have a gift for Reverence Bible Church as you're here to minister to one another. There's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's all different kinds of gifts, and if you try to look at a list and say, what are the different gifts that are there for the church, you'll find that there's a number of different places where it talks about different gifts. Romans and 1 Peter and parts of 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and in other areas of Scripture, you'll see that there are specific gifts that are mentioned. But frequently, you'll see that there's differences within the gifts that are mentioned in each of the individual texts. And I think part of the reason is that the fact of the matter is it's not a matter of which gift exactly is it that I have, but looking and saying, where is it that God has gifted you, and what are the needs that are there within the body, and how can it be used, particularly for our church? And so there's a lot of different gifts that are mentioned, and we'll look at a number of them this morning. But I don't think that this is something that's called us to. Maybe you've seen it before where you go through and you take the test and you mark off, you know, like, this is what I like, this is what I like, and you kind of go through, and at the end it tells you, this is what you're supposed to be. And so here's the gifts that you have. And there's those things which you maybe have seen at different churches. You're not going to see it here, because I just don't think that that's what God's called us to do, is to have you fill in different spots and count your numbers and see where you end up. But recognizing that there are incredible diversities of gifts. And every one of them is absolutely critical to our church. You can't look and say, oh, I wish I had that particular person's gift, or I wish I had that other person's gifts, and my gifts are really just nothing. Then, you know, I don't even know what I have to offer. And sometimes people say things like that, I don't know what gift I have, I don't think I have any gifts. And they try to say it in the sense of humility, possibly. But in all reality, it's not being thankful for the gifts that God's given you. God has given you gifts. What if someone gave you a gift and you're like, nah, I don't even like my gift? It's a horrible thing to say. You're to be thankful for the gift regardless of what it is. And so I think it's important for us to look at our gifts and say, I'm so thankful, God. You've given me this particular gift, and I'm thankful. There's diversities of gifts, and you have given me this gift, and I'm thankful for the gift that you've given me, and I want to use it for the church. You've entrusted me with this gift, and I want to use it. So there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is working in our church. There's differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Differences of activities and or the effects, the fruit of how the gift is worked out, but we're told, but it's the same God who works all in all. You see that as the Holy Spirit's inspiring Paul to write these things, he's saying within a church, there's all different kinds of gifts, different ministries, different activities, different manifestations of the Holy Spirit working in different people's lives. But it is the same Holy Spirit that has all of these things together and is working for this purpose. It's been interesting as we started Reverence Bible Church. We started not knowing who God was going to bring to our church. And yet the fact of the matter is we've seen the Holy Spirit move upon people's hearts, bringing them to our church, and then watching them use their gifts for the purposes of the body here. I've watched it where someone like Joseph Bastos comes and says, I feel like God's calling me. I've been involved with sports my entire life. Can I be involved with maybe a sports ministry, helping with different activities that take place within the church? You know, some of the things that we do at the park or the ping pong tournament that we did or a basketball thing that's coming up and using sports for the purpose of God's glory. I was like, that's great. Linda Troffer coming and saying, I wanted to have a ministry and Tabitha's hands, where they do quilts that they sew. And as they sew these various quilts, and different women in the church are participating in it, the women get together and they pray, and as they tie each knot, they're praying for one particular person within the church that is struggling with something or has gone through a difficult time or possibly a time where they're celebrating with the birth of a child or something that it's appropriate to give them a quilt where they're looking and saying, as our church body made this quilt and sewed these knots, they were praying specifically for me in my situation. And as they're taking time to grieve or whatever it is, they're looking and something tangible they could hold on to. And there's been many of you that have been blessed specifically by that ministry. It's been incredible to see the fruit that's come from it. And it was a member of our church, a family from our church, saying, this is a gift that God's given me, and this could be a blessing to our church. And some of you have found that to be the case. Others have been a part of the church as far as looking and saying, well, I'm not the kind of person that's going to get up and speak in front of people, but I can set up things and I can be there to help and drive trailers or build something or whatever it is. You just tell me what to do in different areas. And you see God's gifts being used in that particular person's life. Maybe someone else where they would never want to get up in front of a group, but they're great at counseling one-on-one with somebody. Being there just to minister to somebody in that particular way. Or discipling somebody where they take a person and they just pour their life into ministering to that person. Older, more mature women ministering to the younger women. Older, more mature men ministering to the younger men. People within the youth ministry, whether they be in college or after college, where they're there and they're praying for the young people of our church and holding them accountable and taking them out to lunch and ministering to them. People that set up the book table on a regular basis. People that hand out the bulletins. And there may be that there's several gifts that God has given you. Not just one, but several. Where you look and you say, okay, I want to do this. Whether it be, you know, I can be there to help set up. Or I could be there to do some discipleship or just whatever it is that I can do to help. Maybe it's coming and stepping outside of your normal comfort zone and saying, I don't know that this is my particular gift, but I want to help in this area and stretch myself. An example would be Sean Bullis. I don't know if Sean's here someplace, but he was somebody who was a roommate of mine for years, and it's been interesting watching because Sean's happy to hang out by himself. He's kind of one of those guys where he could go upstairs and be there and doesn't have to have a lot of, you know, social stimulus taking place. And it's possible for him to come and to sit and be quiet and then leave. And yet, John said, I want to help with handing out the bulletins in the front of the church and greeting people. And the reason why was because it was going to encourage him or force him to be able to meet people that come into the church on a regular basis. That's a blessing. Looking and saying, I want to be able to minister to people. I want to be able to meet people. And then ministering in the youth ministry or ministering with setup or takedown and saying, I want to use the gifts that God's given me for the body. And we could go straight through the church and be able to see different people ministering in different ways. I've gone over to Africa with Dr. Jim Hendrickson and spent some time with Bev as well. And when I was with, as a both husband and wife are doctors, being able to be with Jim in Sudan and watching him, he was doing things where, man, he said, you're my assistant today. And we were helping people, but I'm watching just going, I'm going to pass out. Are you kidding me? Like, what are you doing to that poor lady? And I'm watching these things take place just thinking like, I don't care what they pay you. I don't care. Like, that is not my calling. This is not my calling. Like, I have images in my head. I wish I could get them to go away. And he's like, this is exciting. And I've watched other people where they go and they serve in that capacity. And it's just their heart. That's their passion. They want to help people medically. But for me, that's not it. They're teaching us how to do immunizations. And so they said, take this orange and all you got to do is stick it in. This is how you do it. You know, here's one where you just stick it a little bit in and shoot it in. Because we were supposed to do all these immunizations. And I'm looking, going, I can't handle getting a shot myself, much less do it to some little kid where I'm, you know, saying, here, you know, let me poke you with this thing. The kids would come screaming. So I just made it so my gift was to squirt the one in their mouth. That's all I had to do was squirt the one in their mouth. But different people have different gifts. And we recognize that. We look and we see, you know, Scott Waller, someone who academically is so strong, and he's a professor at Biola and teaches philosophy there, as well as serving with Campus Crusade. And he is able to minister to other guys who have their doctorate, other professors, in a way that some of the rest of us would never be able to do. They would look at us and just think, you don't even know big words. But Scott knows them, and he knows how to use them properly. And he uses it to minister to professors, particularly to professors on different campuses. And it's a gift that God's given him, and it's using it for the purpose of the body. And some gifts may be gifts that people see regularly, and some may be those that we don't see. Jim Milligan, as we were in Africa, was there, and everybody had different activities that they were doing in Sudan. We were in this area in the middle of a war zone, and some of them were doing medical work. Others of us were maybe going and just playing with the kids and playing soccer or doing whatever it was and ministering to them that way. There was a group of people where they said, who wants to get on their bike and ride 20-some miles or 30 miles in this opposite direction and go minister to these people medically that have, you know, no other way to be reached? And they asked me, like, do you want to lead that team in? And I'm kidding me? No way. You know, it's like 120 degrees outside. You want me to ride 20-some miles? I will die out there. There's just no way it's going to happen. But someone else was saying, like, I'll do it, joyfully doing it. And I listened to the instruction take place. And they said, okay, you're going to ride, and you're going to go this way, and you'll find these people. It's a village, and this guy's going to lead you. And I remember one of the people said, well, is it safe? Like, yeah. Are there any lions? No. There is one lion. It is 20 miles that way. You are going this way. Lions, they like very tall grass. They do not like short grass. This way, very tall grass. that way, short grass. It is no problem. These guys said that they were riding 20 miles with grass over their head on both sides. Said, great. Are you kidding me? Like, oh, no problem. Very tall grass. They do like very tall grass. And they're saying like their entire trip was just in this grass going through, thinking, when is the lion going to attack? And they're freaking each other out by saying, how does that guy know where every lion is in Africa? He does not know. But Jim was back at the camp, and he had the ham radio. They had handheld radios, and he was on the radio checking in. And I know that Jim, as I talked with him on the trip and have heard since, he wasn't enthusiastic to be back there, only guy at the camp, on the radio, checking in every 15 minutes. And he was there just saying, everybody else is out doing stuff, and here I am checking in on the radio, and they aren't responding at all because they're little handheld radios didn't have enough juice to be able to communicate back. But the whole way, Jim was communicating with them, saying, we're praying for you. I'm praying for you right now. I remember Dr. Morgan Cooper said, you have no idea what that meant to us when we were out there and we're like, this is very tall grass. To know that there's somebody that's back there praying for us. And he couldn't communicate to Jim, but Jim was communicating to them. And he said, when you were just telling us, you're praying for us, it meant so much. We were going to a people who had never even seen white people before and going and ministering. And to be able to hear that over the radio was the biggest encouragement. And there's times where you might look and say, I can't go to Africa. I can't go to China. I can't do these trips. But you could be back here using God's gifts that he's given to you and praying. Praying. Something that no one sees, but it's a gift that God's given to you where you're praying. Saying, I can pray. I can pray for the pastor. I can pray for the missionaries. And looking and saying, I know I can do that. God's given me a heart to do that. I can serve in that way. And looking and saying, God, where have you gifted me? What are the things that I can do for the sake of the body? There's diversities of gifts, diversities of ministries, diversities of activities, but it is the same God who is working all in all. And it is so encouraging to see the sovereignty of God and the gifts that he has given, where he says, but one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Notice, to each one individually, as God, sovereign God, who knows the needs of the church, as he wills, he gives you gifts. Let's look at this in some different texts. Romans 12:3. Paul says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. You get the idea. We are all a part of the same body, and we're members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You know, you notice I use bold writing throughout these, and then some are underlined. But looking at the bold writing, we see that these are gifts that are given to us. Looking at the underlined writing, it is how we are to participate using our gift. So you begin by, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. It's God's grace that has given you certain gifts. And then it says, let us use them. Your gift is to be used. It would be crazy for you to have a gift, to be a part of this body, and not to use your gift. Christianity is not a religion where it's just, hey, you know, you do your own thing. You could go and have church just at home. And you know people that are like that. Oh, my church is at home. My church is down at Salt Creek, out on the waves. That's my church right out there. That's where I worship. Have you heard people say stuff like that? And yet the fact of the matter is that that's not the case. You belong to a body. You are a part of the body. God's given you gifts. And when you aren't using your gifts to minister to the body, we all suffer. All of us suffer. And you suffer as well because everybody else has gifts that are there to be used for you, but you're saying, I don't, no one will even know if I'm not there. That's a problem. If no one would even know if you're not there, then you aren't using your gifts properly within the church because we are a body. We depend on one another. Everybody is vital. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You see that there's different gifts there, and he says, use it in proportion to your faith. If it's in serving and ministry, use it. Serve. Minister. If it's teaching, teach. If that's what God's given you as far as a gift, then use it. Exhortation. If your gift is giving, with liberality. It's a gift that God's given you. You're looking, and your mind may be such where it works with just, how can I bless people? What can I do as far as giving? I see need here. Can I help in this? We've brought two missionaries on to our church at the last board meeting. It's Charity and Cindy who are working in Sudan. As a church, we're going to support them on a monthly basis. We're going to get their newsletters and be praying for them and be involved in their ministry. If there's opportunities that we can go and minister alongside them in Sudan, we're going to do that. I see this as two women that are there in South Sudan in the middle of nowhere in this little village serving with medical outreaches, with the Jesus film, being able to do discipleship on a regular basis, having a team that's around them, being in an incredibly dangerous area and an area that's far away from home and far away from any kind of civilization. And they have said, we just want to serve there. Not all of us can do this, but we can support them and give towards them in that ministry. Give towards other missionaries who are at our church and say, how can we come alongside and give and support them? But I remember on our last trip, Charity was saying, I want to help with this, and I want to, you know, can you let me get this? And I'm saying, no. You're not going to buy, you know, my wife a necklace. It's like, she'd get mad about that, and I bought it, honey, just so you know. But she said to me as she was offering, she said, no, you don't understand. I don't have very much money, but my gift is giving. That's my gift. I don't have very much money, but I am just constantly looking, how can I give? What can I do? And I look at that, and I was so encouraged by it, because you may be in a place where you're saying, I don't know what I have to give. I don't have very much money, but I want to be able to give. That's my heart. I'm always looking, how can I give? And I look at this young lady, and she's just given her life. Everything. I just want to go and minister to people, and she does. We're having an all-church meeting coming up, our annual all-church meeting, May 17th, Sunday, right after church. We'll have food here, and then we'll meet together as a family and say, here's what God's doing in our church. But in this particular area, as we look at possible church buildings that we'd get in a time when the economy is tanking, there's properties that are becoming available that we might look more and more and say, this is something that God would have us to do. And there's something where we're looking at very intently right now. And it's something that we will bring before the body and say, here is an opportunity that's there. But these kind of things, it's not something where we can look and say, oh, yeah, of course, we have all the funds that we need for this right now. That's not the case. It's something where it would take the Holy Spirit moving on particular people's lives within the church and say, hey, we as a body think this is a good thing, and if we could give towards this, we will. And there might be certain people that have a heart, and that's their gift in giving, but it will happen in a way where the Holy Spirit causes you to cheerfully give towards something. And you know, as a church, if you're here for the first time, know that I don't talk about giving. I don't think I've never preached on it. We've never talked about it. And the fact of the matter is God is not poor and he's not in need of us. But if there's opportunities where we look as a body and say, I've been given this gift and I can joyfully do it to God's glory. not where you're writing checks. And man, these guys are always asking for money. It's not being a cheerful giver. But looking and saying, joyfully, I can do this. This is where God, he's gifted me in this. And we look and we say, we'll just watch God work. Be in his timing, through his provision. And as a body, we see he did it. All the glory will go to him. He who leads with diligence. Diligence in it. Pouring your heart into the gifts that he's given you. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Cheerfully showing mercy to people who are in need. As each one has received a gift, 1 Peter 4:10. Once again, each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You've been given a gift. Use it. Be a good steward of what God has given you. Use it. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You use the gift, but notice it is with the ability which God supplies. He's gifted you with it, and he gives you the ability to use the gift. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. Now notice, it is a gift that's given to you. It's a spiritual gift. A gift is something that you don't do something to earn. It's given to you. He says, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. The spiritual gifts that you're given are for the edification or the building up of the church. It is to build us up as a people, as God's people, using your gift to build one another up. I pray to God that what takes place within our church is when I go to the back and I say goodbye to people as they are exiting. It's a joy for me to do that, but very rarely do I get significant amount of time to spend with people. I pray that all of us as a congregation are looking and saying, I think that person's new. I haven't seen them before. Or maybe it is that they're not new. They just happen to sit on that side of the room, and for once they sat on this side of the room. So they're new to you as far as the side of the room that they're sitting on. But looking and saying, I want to meet the new people. Or I want to encourage them. You might be someone where you've come into a church and you say, no one said anything to me today at church. And you have a choice of being able to say, like, that's not nice. They didn't say anything to me. Or to look and say, there's probably other people where no one said anything to them. I should try to find those people and say something to them. Minister to them. Use a gift that God's placed upon my heart and go and encourage them. Someone looks like they're a little bit sad or down. Maybe I can encourage them. Maybe I could use my gifts to go and minister rather than say, well, I came to church, I did my thing, I'm out of here because I want to go, you know, watch the ball game. But looking and saying, how can I use my gifts to minister? It may be sending a quick email. It might be a phone call in the middle of the week. But looking and saying, I want to use my gifts. I want to encourage people, build them up. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We see that again. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, we see how this is to come about. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so you see that within these things, it's not simply the works of the flesh and the gifts that God's given us, but saying, no, it's through his enabling, and my heart needs to be right in it. Not thinking, oh, I don't like my gift to put up the church signs every week and take them down. The pastor drives by and calls me at midnight saying, why have you not picked up the signs? It doesn't happen, right, Trevor? Nah. But looking and saying, I don't want to do this. I hate putting up the signs. I want to do something else. But just looking and saying, I joyfully do this with love. With love, I minister to people. With love, I do this. I teach. I give to people. And I do it with love because God's saying you could give everything that you have to the poor. But if it's not done with love, it's nothing. And so you see that the motivation is a motivation that God puts upon our hearts to where he's glorified through it as you joyfully use the gifts that he's given you. I included Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 through 19, because I think it's appropriate for us as you look at how God responds with people who don't see the distribution of gifts and recognize that it comes from him. Let's look at the text. Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herd and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. And then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And he says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. And we look at this, and he's talking about people of Israel, and he says, you've come to a place where you have all of these things, and you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. I have this because of my power. I have this because of the might of my hand. It's possible for us to do this, for us to come to a place of, I don't know if it's a gift or not. I mean, I just worked really hard at it. Yeah, you know, I have wealth, but it's because I'm brilliant. These moves that I made, incredible. Everybody else was, you know, buying houses, property, not me, gold. I was buying gold or whatever it is, which probably doesn't apply to most of us here. But the fact of the matter is you might look and we have a tendency to say, look at what I've done, not recognizing that it came from God. Every good thing's come from him. I remember being here at the school, and I was the most frightening thing you could ever do to me was make me do a speech in front of people. I would rather do anything than do a speech. And I remember being here in a room right over that way, and I was in high school, and I was teaching a Bible study here on a regular basis. Every Friday at lunch, I would teach a Bible study, and God just enabled me to do it, and I was looking, just going like, this is great. People are coming. I'm able to do this. There's so much fruit that's coming from it, and there'd be 100 people that were a part of this on a regular basis. And then in a room just right over there, I had to do a senior speech and explain how to put these little binoculars together. 3-minute speech, no big deal. And I got up there, and I'm thinking, my fear of speaking's gone. I could do this. And I got up there, and like I was shaking, like literally like shaking. My upper lip was like just quivering, like, and people were dying laughing. Like the entire class was dying laughing. I look at my teacher, and he's just like this. He's just laughing. And I'm thinking, like, you gotta be kidding me. Like and they were just like, that was amazing what your lip did through that whole thing. And it was one of those things where he made it so clear to me so fast that it's his enabling that enables me to do anything. It's not my own strength. It's not by my own power. It's not that, oh, I just overcome these things. It's through God's enabling on a regular basis. You can't get comfortable. I mean, doing pastoring my sister and Brian's wedding, and I, in the midst of saying Brian, it came out Ryan, and I tried to pretend like it didn't happen. I kept going, and then I could hear people laughing, and Melissa's laughing, and as everybody's, I'm like, I meant Brian, and now everybody laughs a lot, and then I'm thinking throughout the whole rest of the wedding, I'm gonna mess this up more, and so my mouth just dried up like a cotton mouth, like the worst you ever saw, and I'm trying to get through. And I'm just thinking, like, I'm so nervous now. Like, I know I'm going to mess up again. And I look at Melissa, and she's there, and she sees my mouth just as dry as can be, and she's looking at me going, water. Water. Through her wedding. Water. What would you do for water? Because the fact of the matter is, regardless of how comfortable you think you might be, we are totally dependent upon God in everything. It's a gift that comes from Him, and never are we to say, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this. But we should remember the Lord our God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth or every other gift that you have. It comes from Him. In closing, let's look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stir up the gift, Paul tells to Timothy, that is in you. Stir it up. And I would encourage each one of you as a part of the body of Christ here, stir up the gift that's inside you. God sovereignly gave you those gifts according to His will for the building up of the body of Christ here. If you're not using your gift here or your gifts, all the rest of us are suffering. Everybody else is suffering. If you had a football team and half the guys didn't go up on the field, that football team would be suffering. No matter how loud you're cheering in the crowd, that team's suffering. They can't do it. There's no way. Looking at it and saying, God's given me gifts. I need to stir those gifts up. What is it that brings me joy, and what needs do I see here within the body? Maybe I could ask somebody and say, how could I be used? One family came to me this last week saying, I just want to meet with you and just see, how can we use our gifts within the church? What can we do? And that should be all of our hearts, just looking, saying, how can we serve one another? How can we minister to one another? How can we build each other up, stir the gifts up that we've had, that God's given us, so that we as a church will be healthy? Be a good thing for everybody, and God will be honored. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we are thankful for the diversities of gifts that you've given us. Help us to use them joyfully, with liberality, pouring ourselves into one another as we stir the gifts up that you've given us. Help us to be a healthy church, a healthy body, where all of our members are functioning properly. For the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of one another, for the sake of your glory. And now we come to you in worship, Lord, and pray that you would be exalted, well pleased, as we sing praises unto you, for you're worthy of such praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.